The Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 26th, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. South Dakota, home to three tribal colleges and universities. Higher ed leaders for indigenous populations say they hope to see strong turnout for the midterms, as could help them elevate the pathways of more students.
Cheryl Crazy Bull with the American Indian College Fund says because most of these schools are on reservations, they can't rely on state support, only federal funding. She says they hope to see voters research candidates who would make funding a priority so these schools could have more of a firm financial footing.
We need people in Congress who support Native higher education so that we can get the kinds of resources that we need.
She says additional support can also help address gaps in Native students seeking financial aid. During the pandemic, Congress has provided emergency relief to tribal colleges, but leaders testified before federal lawmakers that their funding levels per student remain inadequate, typically falling below the authorized level of $9,000. I'm Mike Moen.
According to the Gallup Purdue Index, nearly 75% of tribal college alumni said they were employed in areas related to American Indian communities or tribal lands, and many worked directly with their tribe. Food service workers in Pennsylvania and their advocates want Congress to consider and support a new Restaurant Workers' Bill of Rights. Our Danielle Smith has more.
Sammy Chavin is with the group Family Value at Work, a movement of over 2,000 organizations in 27 states, including the Pennsylvania chapter. Chavin says during the pandemic, more than 30 million workers lacked access to any paid sick time, and introducing a Restaurant Workers' Bill of Rights in Congress could help change that.
The Restaurant Workers' Bill of Rights will ensure that all restaurant workers will be entitled to time to rest, time to heal, and time to live with the security of continued income and a job to come back to. We can create a world with an economy based on care, equity, and respect.
She adds, months of outreach to restaurant workers across the U.S. helped determine what went into the document. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, close to 400,000 people work in food service in Pennsylvania.
Now from NBC News, a 5.1 magnitude earthquake rattled the San Francisco Bay Area, including San Jose and its Silicon Valley, on Tuesday. That triggered alerts on tens of thousands of cell phones. Despite all the shaking reported in a region that is home to nearly 5 million people, there were no immediate reports of injuries or significant damage. A retired U.S. Geological Survey seismologist told NBC News it was the largest earthquake in the Bay Area in 15 years. This is PNS. When families began receiving expanded child tax credit payments during the pandemic, the extra family income lifted almost 4 million kids out of poverty. But when the payments stopped, child poverty increased by more than 40%.
In Utah, just a year after the monthly payment stopped, the number of families with children reporting food insecurity increased by 74%. Gina Cornea with the group Utahns Against Hunger thinks lawmakers should reinstate the $300 to $360 per child payments, especially with inflation near double digits.
With the price of food and with the price of gas and all of these other financial pressures these families are feeling, reinstating the monthly child tax credit would really help ease those economic concerns for families.
Congress debated restoring the payments earlier in the current session, but negotiations stalled after conservative lawmakers claimed they contributed to inflation and demanded that work requirements be added to the program. Political observers say it's unlikely the expanded child tax credit will be restored this year. Mark Richardson reporting.
And as National Disability Employment Awareness Month comes to a close, New Yorkers find there's more to do beyond October. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, the unemployment rate for people with disabilities is double that of those without disabilities. Dr. Sharon McLennan Weir is with the Center for Independence of the Disabled in New York.
For some reason, if you don't have a disability and you come across someone who has an obvious disability, meaning that you can see it, it's not a hidden disability, you say to yourself that initial thought of, oh my God, I can't believe that they're doing A, B, and C, because you can't fathom how that would be if you had that same situation.
Other challenges include making sure businesses understand the Americans with Disabilities Act and how to provide their employees with disabilities what's needed to perform their jobs. Finally, Edwin J. Vieira tells us the Montana Land Board has approved acquiring a new piece of land to become a wildlife management area.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has cited the lack of public access to the mountains as a primary factor for an elk population that's 900% over objective. Initially, the land belonged to Forrest Allen of Cody, Wyoming, and it was donated after his death in 2019 to a children's hospital. Local rancher Dick Raths describes how this parcel of land went from being privately owned to its current status.
Forrest Allen willed the land to show their children's hospital in Helena, a long-time facility for children in need in Montana, and he also stipulated that he would like to see that land become a resource for the public.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member endlessly supported, on our radio stations, big and small. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.